November 10th, cataloging his problems with him and insisting there was no way to repair the damage. I am responding to your request that I let you know whether we can continue in this present management structure. The answer, we really cannot. We have discussed the problem over and over again, and no matter what we do, the basic facts do not change. You do not provide what the company needs at this time. You do not like being number two in a company, and you don't really understand or like or are capable of managing a public company such as Disney. Eisner cited the Brad Gray negotiations and the TeleTV suggestion during Ovitz's first 2 days. I started to question my judgment in putting us together. By Labor Day, I was wondering what it would cost in dollars and embarrassment to end our corporate partnership right away. Of course, the Jamie Tarsus incident only made me more concerned that I had brought in somebody with very questionable judgment. Eisner reviewed his memo of October 10th the prior year, adding, I also tried to talk to you but never could get connected. Even on the plane, I could not get your attention. Once, I even told you that there is no way to talk to you. You are too interested in talking to Laura Landreau, who covered the entertainment industry, at the Wall Street Journal. You were late for almost all meetings, and often you lost your temper to pilots, drivers, little people. I do not think there is any doubt but that you started off slowly and poorly. You were nervous and wanted to impress everybody. And you would agree that this was a mistake. No matter what I did to try to help and guide you those first few months, it was impossible. Things were getting worse. By January, I was really concerned. I wrote to you that your view that there is a conspiracy with the people around me toward you is ridiculous. I told you that I find this attitude stressful, disingenuous, and counterproductive. I said that it was not team playing. And I warned that the press is getting wind of these stupid issues. It could be ugly. Many think now you come late to meetings to show your independence. Everybody is looking at this situation, and it is really silly. Why is this happening? Could any of it be your fault? I hoped I could turn things around, but nothing happened. By spring, it was clear to me that you were out of step with our executives. I am convinced that the cadence problem basically was caused by a lack of trust in you. As we've discussed many times, no one knew when you were telling things the way they were. The truth was often hard to decipher. Eisner ticked off a list of slights and missteps, from not returning phone calls to wanting to fire Litvak and others, of not following through, of being uninterested in details. Image is always important to you. I had hoped that company operations someday would become as important to you as image. Michael, a leader of a public company has to lead by example. It is in the little things, your number of secretaries, the out-of-control renovation of your office, your attitude to costs. And he faulted him for hosting his daughter's party at the House of Blues. The problem I will never be able to solve is the endemic one. You have just been too successful in the past to be happy being a number two in any organization, whether small or very large. You said, you really do not need me. You need someone like Frank, someone who can be happy running point but not looking to grow. I don't believe you ever really understood what Frank did or what it means to run a